Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Thank you, House of Judah. That was profoundly powerful. Let's celebrate the House of Judah for that intensely powerful worship session. I want to read, first of all, from Job chapter 33 and from verse 14. Job 33 and from verse 14. All right. Pastor David, please check if you can get this in the Amplified. Do we have the Amplified also? Okay, let's read, first of all, from King James. Then I want to consider what we have in the Amplified, if or Message translation. Okay, do we have it on the screen? All right. Let's look at this. Job 33, 14. It says, "For God speaketh once, yes, twice. Yet, man what? Perceiveth it not." How many times does God speak? Twice. When God speaks to you, you are permitted to hear it at least twice. But a problem was identified. He said, there seems to be a challenge with our ability to discern and to perceive what he's saying, even though he's repeating himself. Do we have this in the Amplified? If we do, I would like to consider this. Amplified and probably Message translation. Any luck? Is it the same scripture? For God speaks once and even twice, yet no one notices it, including you, Job. So I want to lay to rest this idea that sometimes we feel God is not talking. So I've titled this message, "The Permissive Will of God is Not His Desire for You." The permissive will of God is not God's desire for you. It's not His desire. Now, let's read very quickly from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12. It's a long read, so I'll try to brush through it. Some of us have gone for meetings, conferences, believers' meetings, and you've heard things like, oh, there's the perfect will of God, there's the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God actually is not a Bible thing. It's just a context. It's just a concept that was created to address the state where most believers find themselves. Most believers are there, actually. All right. So 1 Samuel chapter 12. "And Samuel said unto Israel, unto all Israel, Behold, I've hearkened to your voice in all that you have said unto me, and I've made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose horse have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you." And I'm going to say something about this. Now, the fourth verse summarizes what was actually being said in verse 3. All right? Look at the fourth verse. "And they said, Thou hast not what? Defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither has thou taken any bribe or hurt against any man's hand." So they summarized his query to three things. And this is very This is very critical, especially for those of you who are in some form of leadership, or you plan to be in leadership in the future, whether it's in your organization or within the body of Christ. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Then he began to talk to them in verse 6. He said, and Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. Let me stop there. When a man does not really understand spiritual transitions, or how God can move a man, or how God chooses to move a man from a particular point to another, he will look to himself. He will look to science. He will look to human calculations. It would depend on what is trending. But you see, that scripture says, it was the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. For you to understand that statement, you have to go back into the life of Aaron. Aaron was born before the time the law was made that every baby born should be killed. Moses was born as at the time that law had become effective. So the Lord prepared Aaron to stand as a guard. He was going to be the priest of Moses. He was going to be a spiritual son to Moses, even though biologically he was the elder brother. I need you to consider what I'm saying here. Because many of us have aborted the move of God in our life because we looked at certain relationships after the flesh. So just because I have a son, or I have two actually, just because I have two sons, does not automatically translate that I'm their spiritual father. Come on, are you here now? They have to grow into that knowledge. Biologically, I can't disown them. But spiritually, I can. Please understand this. There's a kind of relationship. In the order of things, God should have chosen Aaron and then told Moses, as the youngest one, to serve. It would have been easy. See, it was the Lord that advanced Moses, and he was the one who moved them forward. That also suggests to me that no matter what I do, progress belongs to God. Hallelujah. Your progress does not belong to any man. It's not in their hands. When the Lord decides to advance you, it is a decision that the heavens have made. So what I need to do, what you need to do, is to make sure that we are somewhat in that tangent, within that reality, where God considers us good to be moved. So you realize that the task of following God is a full-time job. A part-time Christian cannot defeat a full-time devil. Yeah, write that down. A part-time Christian cannot defeat a full-time devil. And one of the things Satan has done to us is to trap us within a particular phase where it seems as if we are doing the will of God. And yet, in certain critical aspects of our lives, we are not actually doing the will of God. We are just doing what we think is right for us. And like the servant of God said, he said, I have not hid from you the whole counsel of God. So it's not just good enough for me to come here and preach to you. The requirement of heaven is that I must not hide from you the complete counsel of God. If not, the day of trial, when it comes, you will not be able to stand. Look at this. Go to verse 8. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron. Every time people cry to the Lord sends a man. Every time man tries to look for a man to solve his problem, they get in trouble. There was a time in this country we were in so much pain that some of you, if you were alive then, maybe in the 90s, we started using coal to cook at home. Some of you, while you are, some of you are using gas all your life. You don't. We use coal, and we took turns to fan it. Very. So you have to enjoy the food though, because you suffered. Then we cried to God, and we believed that the Lord heard us. We, every church, white garment, red garment, whatever, everybody was praying until one day the man dropped dead in the midst of two women. But we didn't remember to ask the Lord to give us a man. So look at where we are. Every time you try to look for a way around, you will get Saul. When God brings his choice to you, you will get David. You have to be very careful. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord sent Moses and Aaron. One was a prophet, one was a priest. So every time you begin to pray and you are asking God for direction in your life, the next thing for you to do is to be sensitive. Who is the Lord bringing your way? The person may even be your friend. The person may be your neighbor. The person may just be somebody around. All of a sudden, the person is as though the Lord is causing that person to stand out. It's just like when you're standing on the stage and the lights beam on the particular person, the person on the who is singing. You know, you just notice that this person all of a sudden is becoming very significant in your life. You are talking more. The person seems to be saying something that is helping your journey. Every time I pray, the next requirement for me, once I pray through, is to begin to see, look around. Who is the Moses and the Aaron that the Lord is what? Sending my way. Because every time God wants to move, he moves in people. God sends people. God will never come down. He moves through, not through clocks and calendars, he moves in men. That's how sometimes certain things happen to us and we know it is time. We know it is time. We know it is time to move on. Everybody may be moving on, but for some reason the signs are not there and we know we can't move. The children of Israel cried unto God and God sent Moses and Aaron. Look at verse 9. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hands of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and we have served Baal. Now, there's something about Baal and Ashtaroth. I've said this before, but let me just broach it. And maybe someday I will do an entire teaching on Baal and the spirit of Baal and Ashtaroth. That Ashtaroth is also the same word, Ishtar. Ishtar, Ashtar, Ashtaroth. Baal is, in a summary, is just like God. The only thing is, he doesn't have conditions. It's a very powerful seducing spirit. There are so many gods that can be called Baal. But did you notice that most of the times when the Israelites deviated from God, it was Baal they went to? Do you remember? If you read the Old Testament, they went to Baal. Why is that? Because Baal doesn't care if you go to church. Baal does not care if you are a music director, choir member, married, single, divorced, six husbands. What do you want? Baal will tell you, can you dance in front of my altar? Is that all? Nobody will know. Even your pastor comes here. You will dance. You will go home. You will give birth to twins. Baal doesn't care. What Baal wants is compromise. That's all. Yeah. If I don't finish this message, I'll finish second sense, but... What does Baal want? Compromise. Baal is not so careful. You can be here, look so holy, then go on TikTok and be dancing like the daughter of Salome. That's fine for Baal. One day you will realize that all those followers you are looking for online, they are not your friends. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They don't give 2 cents about you. And at the end of your life, your family, see those 2-3 of you that are in that family, those are the only people that will be with you. The Holy Spirit spoke to us through Paul. He said, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. When we say this thing, it looks as if we are just, it's like we are just being, you know, old school. No. Don't be moved by public validation. You can lose your calling. You can lose your destiny simply because you are looking for public validation. If John was looking for public validation, he would not have remained in ministry when Christ came. Baal, he will give you a bountiful harvest. Baal can give you harvest. All this prayer. Forget prayer. What are you praying about? You need to know the principles. Baal will take God from you, but leave Bible in your hand. You will just be studying the Bible. But what makes the Christian faith so beautiful is when you sit in your room, you may be sitting on the floor, and you are just praying, and God's presence is in that room. That room alone, if you go to the parlor, you will not find it. In that room with you alone, koinonia. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? You are in your room, you are just, sometimes in your car, and the presence of God is just so intense. It's like every musical instrument is playing there. Ooh. In other religions, their God doesn't owe them that. Baal doesn't care. Give me your faith. Give me your... See, everybody is using wisdom. Huh? Everybody is using wisdom. There are many people who cannot share their testimony because they know that the foundation of that testimony is not God. They know. When the pastor says, congratulations on your... He's not talking. He knows. Ashtaroth. That is the god of sexual promiscuity. That is the goddess that allows men dress as women before they worship him. Go and do your research. That is the god that allows women cross-dress. All those people that you think they are having, is Ashtaroth that is operating there. It is Ashtaroth is the god that even in ancient times permitted sex change. What do you call it now? Huh? Sex change. What do you call that? Transgender. You know. So, he permitted it for you to stand as a priest before him or before her. He permitted sex change. It was a very painful process, but they did it then. You have to learn how to watch out for signs. Listen to me. The God of... Well, all right. Let me just stay with my madness. If you don't pull down the God of Ogun that you put in at the headquarters of PACN or whatever, that God of thunder, that the image that was there, you will never have light in this country. The image in front of the New York Stock Exchange, who knows what that image is? It's a bull. When you hear the market is bullish, what does it mean? It's going forward. The market is strong. When you hear it's bearish, that means it's dipping. There's no, the value is going down. Now, the emblem of Baal is bull. Yes. Baalim, that Baal is what? It's a bull. For Israel, it's just an image. Hey, watch out for signs. Don't be careless. Satan will hide some things. They will call it New Yam Festival. They will call it different things. Be careful. The problem with Balaam is that once you have been seduced by him once, it's very hard not to go back there. Because Balaam will give you result now. Balaam is not all this fasting and praying. Just dance here. That's all. If you come here already, die. Oh, there's no story. We are Jehovah Sharp Sharp. So now this is the issue. These guys were now being plagued. I'm talking about the Israelites. They were being plagued by enemies all around them. But because they were in sin, they could no longer depend on the Lord as their source of defense. They could no longer say, "The Lord, where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Like Moses, they could not stretch their rod and see the power of God flow. So they thought about it. We need a king. It was not the request for a king that was the problem. It was the motive. It was the reason why they were asking. And Samuel told them, your request for a king, let me tell you what it means. What it means is that you have rejected God as your king. It's in that scripture. Look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 12 together. Come on, are you here? When you read this Old Testament scripture, you should really pay attention and just, you know. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, "No, but a king shall reign over us when God was your king." The moment, move this thing back to King James. The moment they made this decision, they stepped out of the will of God into a permissive state. The problem with the permissive state is like when you are trading the forex market. Please look at me. When you are trading the forex market, you have a chart. Now the market can only go in three ways. Either the price is going high, or the price is going low, or sideways. That sideways, you can call it consolidation, you can call it a ranging market, which means if you want to have heart attack, that's where you go to. Because if the price gets here, you think, it's going to go up. It will just come down. And your wife came to the parlor, saw you smiling 5 minutes ago. Now she came and saw you. It's like having palpitation of the heart. Because as that thing is moving, that's how your heart is moving. And then if Satan wants to point the thing, maybe you are expecting the price to go up. The thing will just come down. You see the way it's coming down. That's how you'll be going down. Because you are looking at maybe minus $1,000. You'll be feeling sick immediately. With all the malaria, all the you'll be having running stomach. Everything will be happening to you at once. Don't kill your wife. Oh. The permissive will of God is that ranging market. Come on now. When price is not going high, or it's just dancing around a particular level, it looks safe. It looks safe that you are with your mate. But there are no mates in destiny. There's no mate. Your calling is unique to you. Your calling is unique to you. That where we are together. One is called as Moses. The other is called as Aaron. They may share the same discipline, but the calling and the instructions are unique. Please remember that when we started, I shared with you that God already told us that the problem with most of us is not that he doesn't talk. It's that we have not learned to perceive. He didn't say here, perceive. If only you even perceive that, was that God? That thing I was sharing with that sister, was that God? Because most of us are looking for the spectacular and God is in the supernatural. So most time when God talks to us, he will talk to us through regular things. But because we are not sensitive, you tried so hard to travel to Ibadan. You tried so hard, you didn't get the money. You called that your friend that always gives you money, he didn't pick. Then you called my dear sister, she didn't pick. Then you called my brother, then he sent you a text, I'm in a meeting. You are still not thinking that God is telling you to stay in your house. Then you now got to the express that, anyhow. Then you went to the ATM.
There was 115 there. He debited you. You didn't collect cash. You still think that this Ibadan, you must get there today. Huh? Then while you are standing on the road, what do I do? Somebody was holding a, you know, in the days of, maybe he was wearing his headset. And he was just singing and walking across. Don't worry about a thing. Yeah, like, 1-5 stock. All my faithful followers, nobody's speaking. And they say, don't worry. And while you're there, somebody was wearing a t-shirt. Don't go. You see, the problem is God is talking. But you are waiting for something. You want an angel to come down. Listen to me. If you are not able to perceive, you cannot even have faith if you see him. God is talking to you now. I said if you cannot perceive, even if he comes down, you will doubt. Come on, are you here? People have gotten into big problems simply because they could not perceive. And they were angry and said, God kept coming. God said, no, I spoke to you twice. He said the moment they decided that they were going to get a king for themselves. Huh? Come on, are you with me? God said they had rejected him. They didn't say, did they say they didn't want to worship God? God operates by implications. God operates by implications. Don't just sit there and say, I didn't say it. Madam, you did. It was Jeremiah. Was it Jeremiah that told us that? Was it Jeremiah Ezekiel? He said, when some people came to him to seek the Lord, and the Lord began to speak to him, I think it was Jeremiah, and he said, if anybody comes to you as a prophet and they have idols in their heart, he said, I will answer them. If there are 21 idols, God will give them 21 levels of revelation that will sink them. It's in the Bible. Idols permit you to be, in quote, on God's side and to be on your own side. Because in the permissive will of God, you are not necessarily committing sin. You are just off God's plan for your life. Now, when the Lord told me and said, look, the job that I gave to you, I want you to bring it back. I want you to serve me. That was the period, that same day, that I got an offer with Union Bank. I'm not tired of telling you people these stories because... till everybody knows it. You know. I could have taken that as a quick exit from my current bank, move to Union Bank, do like 2-3 years. Meanwhile, one of the challenges I had in my bank was that even while as a pastor of this church, I used to go to work as early as 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. So sometimes while you guys are doing praise worship here, Pastor David will be calling me, Pastor, where are you? Pastor, where are you? There was a day I was coming from the office Sunday morning, and my car did a 360, almost 360 on Third Milan, because I was speeding and I was trying to get here. If I had moved to Union Bank, most likely because they were going to put me in a strategic team, I wouldn't have to be working Saturday, Sunday. Abi? Same day, MTN was making me a particular offer. If I had gone to MTN, most likely I would not be going to the office Saturday, Sunday. All right? That would have been convenient, except that the Lord said, that banking job is over. So I would have moved into the permissive will of God, and I would have gotten stuck. Because now, if I was experiencing any spiritual battle, I wouldn't know if it's because of my disobedience or because something that just happened randomly. Are you with me? That's the problem. You'll be praying. You are not sure. Your mind is telling you it's because you disobeyed God. One might say, no, it's not. It's not that. God is not wicked. God is not wicked. And you'll be in that spot, ranging up and down. You see how the price is going up and coming down. Anybody praying for you, if they prayed for you when your heart was up, they will see hope. If they pray for you when your heart was depressed, they will see everybody is saying different things. If they met you when your heart was somewhere in the middle of that chart, that's what they will see. All the prophets will be giving you wrong signals. It is dangerous to be in the permissive will of God. Every time Israel moved to that spot, they suffered. Lives can be lost. Come on, are you here now? You people are quiet too. Don't worry, second service, I have a very nice message. You will like that one. So what that suggests to me is that the whole idea of Saul becoming king, Pastor Kenny, was God's response to men with idols. It was God that chose the king. Huh? God anointed him with his spirit. But you would see that from the very first day, Saul had no heart for God. Saul had no desire for spiritual things. Saul had nothing like, oh, let's go to church, let's go and pray. Saul had no personal consecrations. He had nothing. He was just a guy looking for lost asses. So it was easy for him to fall. But a David, even before, when David never saw his destiny outside being a shepherd. So he learned, and the job is very boring, so he learned how to play the stringed instrument. So when he was alone, you will see him, he will be singing that song we used to sing in 1993. You will hear us, he will sing, Holy Father, oh Lord, what have you done? Those are songs you can only sing when you are alone, because you are mad. Saving me by the blood of your holy son. I can call you Father, because you ransomed me from all the sins I've done. That was the first song I was taught when I became a Christian. Holy Father, reconciling son. They put you. When you see, let me just say this. If you want to stay in the perfect will of God, you must remain a child. You must remain a child. Don't grow up on God. You must remain a child. Always leaning and depending on your father. There is something about when your parents are at home. For those of you who have children, when you are at home, your children are just at peace. They are not thinking of money. They are not thinking. They just, as long as they can see their parents, they are fine. All right? Sometimes if the dad goes out, you see the children asking mom, where is daddy? When is he coming back? Where is that? He's coming. Where is he? Call him now. Call him. If the other party walks out, you will find the other, they will ask him, where is mommy? Where is mommy? There's just this sense of security that comes with when your parents are around and you just see them. And you just know that whatever the problem is going to be okay. That is the whole idea of being in the will of God. When nothing else satisfies you except when you can see that your father is there. That's why I say to you, don't destroy your faith by using your faith primarily for things, desiring things. Use your faith primarily to develop your relationship with God and for perfection. Use your faith for spiritual maturity. The day you will now need that faith to deliver on earthly things, it will not fail. But if you keep using your faith for things like shoes, bag, all those small, small things, Satan will be waiting for you at every support, every resistance point to deal with you. So you will just find that most of the things you have been praying about, you don't really get them. And then you see other people say, and God did this, and Jesus did. You'll be asking yourself, is it the same Jesus we are following? It's the same Jesus. But some of us use our faith for spiritual growth. We use our faith to develop our relationship with God. I don't think I'm close to God simply because I feel anything. I think I'm close to God because of faith. Because faith is the primary emotion of the spirit. Are you with me now? Faith is the primary emotion. So if God says I am free, I accept that revelation simply because the word of God says so. I'm not waiting to feel like I am free before I experience that freedom. When I was at the hospital for hepatitis and the Lord told me that I was healed, they still took me to the lab, tested me again. I still had all the symptoms. But this time, because it was the voice of the Lord that came to me clearly, I was able to stand on it. I'm free, I'm free. And for over a month, After I was discharged, I still had all the symptoms. You know, my hands were always, I was always shaking. I couldn't stay in the spot. I would have to hold my hand to write. I would have to do something. But after some time, pew, the thing left. Let me tell you. The perfect will of God is the best place for you to analyze everything, anything you are going through. So the first thing you should ask is there any direct instruction from the Lord that I have violated? There are some people, maybe they are not here, maybe they are watching me online. The Lord told you, marry this person. But because this person is not light-skinned, you went to Sister Rolake, who sings in the choir, or Sister Fumi, and you married that one. What you don't understand is that because the move of God is captured in people, there is something about that choice that God made that makes you best fit for a future purpose. The moment you've broken that, if Joseph had refused to marry Mary, can you imagine? If Joseph just refused, I don't want shame. I keep myself, I'm a Christian, I'm a fervent believer, I cannot be in the prayer unit, and my wife is pregnant. No, I'm not doing it again. Go and face Pastor Gbenga, when you are finished, come back. If Joseph had done that, people would have hailed him as a righteous brother. Abby, say, I like you. You took your stand. Took your stand. But in the course of heaven, has he missed it? Because God does not say as man sees. Anywhere you go and you see everybody pointing in a particular direction, just know that's not the will of God. Anywhere there's unanimous consensus, everybody's pointing, give us a king. Samuel, we love you, and you know we know me personally, my family, we love you, but we want to be as other nations. Question: are you as other nations? How far did you look till you got to the point where you realized that, and we don't have Kingo? What were you looking at when you noticed? Before you got to the point and you said, I will marry anybody. It's God that can convert anybody. I just want to marry. I want to change my name. What were you looking at till you realized that you are not married? When you said, this is my job. 120,000. Even this one that had HND, she's earning 280. You are saying it in your mind. Okay, what were you looking at? Till you got to the point where you determined God's faithfulness by what he was doing in your life as against what he was doing in another person. If you had read the books where Satan documented his own plans for you, you would have realized you should have been dead 3 years ago. And God preserved you. A lot of people are gambling. You know this sure bet thing? You are hoping that your destiny will just blow like a flash in the pan. A lot of Christians are here because of the economic situations we are all dealing with. Because of the challenge that is upon us. In fact, at some point, Paul was saying, those of you that are married should now begin to behave as though you are not married. There was a reason he said it. Because people are dying young. A lot of people who are getting married in the body of Christ were being killed because of persecution. And Paul said, look, I beg. This is not the time for love. It's time for war. So you cannot take that statement and isolate it from the historical context. It's just like saying women should not preach. Certain things, you have to look at the context to understand why that thing was being said. The permissive will of God, you are not really moving forward. You are not really moving backwards. You are just stuck. There's no profit there. An entire nation that God called his own missed it because they looked at another nation and said, we want to be like them. Do you also want their gods? Most times when we miss it, do you realize that it's because a thought came into your mind? You thought of something. You thought of something. You thought of something like...
You see, if God opens what goes on in this our head for just 24 hours, and he puts Wi-Fi to it, I say, you people be watching. Some people will say, let the ground open.
Some people have cursed God. Some people have fellowshiped with devils. Some people have married another wife. In their mind, with three children.
Now, let me tell you. Most times, a lot of people who are not in the will of God are not aware. They are not aware because, physically speaking, everything seems to be going on fine. But in verse 18, go to verse 18. Let me tell you, and if you are here, you are at a critical point in your life. Don't take any easy option. It's good for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. Don't take any easy option now. If you love money, like love money, what I mean by love is that you like to have like 7 figures in your account at any point in time. You need inflation-proof skill, not salary. Okay? So you stay at your job, but you start working on a skill. Not the one that another trend will come and wipe it off. Because some people, they'll spend their time developing a skill. When they finish, they'll realize that skill is obsolete. If you love money, you like to be rich at any point in time, that even when you are broke, you are still rich. You need to, while you are working at your job, you need to learn a skill. Like my brother, Kamsi, if among doctors, if he decides to major in cardiology or become a kidney specialist or liver, he will become extremely rich. Because those are areas that is rich people that are there. You understand? You have to be rich. So I'm giving you a tip now. The permissive will of God, an entire nation found themselves there. I spoke to a lady and she said to me, I realized from the first 1 week of my marriage that I'd missed it. She's a very fervent believer. Very fervent believer. Extremely fervent. She didn't do anything wrong, but she was going to marry somebody and she kept the matter from her pastor, who knew the man very well. So by the time they told their pastor, it was too late. The wedding invitation was out. You know what it means to be married for almost 10 years and no consummation? All right? So this dear sister, up to now, she's now 40, she's still a virgin. She was married for about 10 years. These are real people. They are not stories. Though. They are people I know. I know husband and wife. The thing is, the moment your emotions get involved, you are no more safe. We need to allow a neutral person come in and tell you that she's a witch or that he's a fraud. Because right now, you are just inside your head. You can't see anything wrong. All you see is that he's tall. That's all you are seeing. He's tall. I'm talking to you about people step out of the perfect of God. Satan will introduce some kind of emotional bond, emotional attachment. Satan can also introduce some form of inferiority. You just feel lesser than other people. You see other nations. You see other people. You begin to wonder, why can't I be like this one? The moment that thing settles in your spirit, you will start looking for something of how to become like this person, but you don't know what that person is dealing with.
Some people have relocated to the UK now. They are looking for money to pay loan that they borrowed here. There are some of you, if I tell you now, we are so broke here. I want to talk to you. We are so broke here. I mean, like, can you? You have a master's. Can you do a... Well, there's every, to every labor, there's profit. All right? Every labor, but can you do a care job in Nigeria? You said no. But if you go to the UK, you will do it. There's nothing wrong with doing a care job. How much is it? Forget about it that you're a pastor. How much is it? Say £5,000 every week. I'm ready. Where's the broom? Where's the soap? But when I'm enjoying my money, don't call me. Once you see me at KFC or somewhere, don't see. See, just be going. Don't even say, ah, "Is that not past?" Shama Lord, just be. Why there's nothing wrong with that? But when you look at yourself, did you see yourself at that point in your life where you have a master's degree, you move to another place and the society rejects you and they say, what our children cannot do, you come and do. It's a particular woman, you know. Her husband is a doctor, medical doctor, has a hospital in Nigeria, a very big hospital. Both of them are doctors. The husband decided to travel to one of these countries and refused to come back. He started using somebody's head. You know, when they say using somebody's head, he was using somebody's head to walk. How he did it? Because he couldn't practice medicine in that country because he was trained in Nigeria. So he used somebody's head. Go and Google it or ask. Oluwole. So he did something. He was now working as a nurse in that country. He was earning $20,000 every month. Is that not big money? If you give me $20,000 now, you see the way I'll be talking. You are blessed. Don't worry, you are blessed. Bro, don't pray again. Come and see me. Come and see me. Don't pray. Bro, don't pray. You too, don't pray. By the time I shared $5,000, everybody will be happy. You even go home, you'll be praying. Say, Pastor, go and see if you'll be praying for me, doing VG. $20,000. But he can't come home. His family is gone. The wife wants a divorce. But he was an ordained assistant pastor somewhere. But when the reality of life set in, he flinched and fell into the permissive will of God, and Satan hijacked him. That's the strongest place for Satan to get you. You have to be careful. If you are not sure, stay where you are. If you jump because others are jumping, you don't know how far you are away from the pit. You have to be sure at least before you jump. There are people who have moved abroad and it was clear that this was the hand of God taking them there. It was clear. Pastor Sam Adeyemi said he was planning to go abroad with his brother many years ago to wash dead bodies. That was the founder of Daystar Church. He said he was that, you know, when you look at your life, you just know nothing is happening. Say, let's just go. If we go there, we'll wash dead bodies. They are paying them. Dead bodies. Meanwhile, in Nigeria, if you see a dead body on the road, you take off. Say, here, they, just keep me with them. How much? Say, $500. Let's start. But if he had made that move, and 25 years later, God showed him his life. The Sam, Pastor Sam that we know today, and that one that wanted to go and wash dead bodies, if God now shows him, see what your life would have looked like if you had stayed with me. Because nothing moves people into the permissive will of God like impatience. It will take you there faster. Impatience. Because God is always slow. Look in that verse 18. Samuel told them, let me just stop here, I will continue. Samuel told them, he said, I'm going to show you that what you guys have done is evil. And he said, so Samuel said, he said he will call upon the Lord to send rain. And Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Next verse, is there anything in it, in verse 19? And the people said, pray for your servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto our sins this evil. To ask for what? So, does that suggest to us that the king has been rejected from the first day? Why they were fighting, give us a king, give us a king. We want to have a king, someone that we can show off. Now, Samuel was preaching to them. They didn't say anything. The moment Samuel called on thunder, and they saw that God heard him, then it became clear that in the will of God, a million people can be wrong and one person will be right. But if they go to the polls, that one will lose. If they vote, Samuel will lose. He will not win his local government seat, but it is the will of God. That's how strong numbers can be when it tries to avert the purpose of God in a man's life. But it was too late. This king sent their sons to war. People died. Eventually, God killed that king because he brought witchcraft back into the nation. Nothing secures a man in the will of God like a genuine, fervent relationship with God. Let's pray. For your name is holy. Holy God, for your name is holy. I want you to begin to come before the Lord in repentance. Come before the Lord in repentance. In 1 minute, let's just come before the Lord in repentance and ask Him for mercy.
In the name of Jesus, we ask for mercy.